Okay, Carrie, we're continuing on with Chapter 10 of Harry Potter. This is called Halloween. Malfoy couldn't believe his eyes when he saw that Harry and Ron were still at Hogwarts the next day, looking tired but perfectly cheerful. Indeed, by the next morning, Harry and Ron thought that meeting the three-headed dog had been an excellent adventure, and they were quite keen to have another one. In the meantime, Harry filled Ron in about the package that seemed to have been moved from Gringotts to Hogwarts. They spent a lot of time wondering what possibly could need such heavy protection. "It's either really valuable or really dangerous," said Ron. "Or both," said Harry. But as all they knew for sure about the mysterious object was that it was about 2 inches long, they didn't have much chance at guessing what it was without further clues. Neither Neville nor Hermione showed the slightest interest in what lay underneath the dog and the trapdoor. All Neville cared about was never going near the dog again. Hermione was now refusing to speak to Harry and Ron, but she was such a bossy know-it-all that they saw this as an added bonus. All they really wanted now was a way of getting back at Malfoy, and to their great delight, such a thing arrived in the mail about a week later. As the owls flooded into the great hall as usual, everyone's attention was caught at once by a long, thin package carried by 6 large screech owls. Harry was just as interested as everyone else to see what was in this large parcel, and was amazed when the owls soared down and dropped it right in front of him, knocking his bacon to the floor. They had hardly fluttered out of the way when another owl dropped a letter on top of the parcel. Harry ripped open the letter first, which was lucky because it said, "Do not open the parcel at the table. It contains your new Nimbus 2000, but I don't want everyone knowing you've got a broomstick, or they'll all want one. Oliver Wood will meet you tonight on the Quidditch field at 7 o'clock for your first training session. Professor McGonagall." By the way, let me interject here, that the package clearly was a broomstick. I mean, it was a long, thin package. It must have been very thin, right? I don't know. You didn't see the movies, I think, but if you saw the movies, it looked exactly like a broomstick wrapped with newspaper. And it's like, what is it? What is it? I wonder what it is. Anyways. Harry had difficulty hiding his glee as he handed the note to Ron to read. "A Nimbus 2000," Ron moaned enviously. "I've never even touched one." They left the hall quickly, wanting to unwrap the broomstick in private before their first class. But halfway across the entrance hall, they found their way upstairs, barred by Crabbe and Goyle. Malfoy seized the package from Harry. "That's a broomstick," he said. "Duh," throwing it back to Harry with a mixture of jealousy and spite on his face. "You'll be in it for this time, Potter. First years aren't allowed them." Ron couldn't resist it. "It's not any old broomstick," he said. "It's a Nimbus 2000. "What did you say you've got at home, Malfoy? A Comets 260? Ron grinned at Harry. "Comets look flashy, but they're not in the same league as Nimbus. God. Anyways, sorry. I shouldn't editorialize so much. You get mad at me, don't you? Okay. "What would you know about it, Weasley? You couldn't afford the handle." "Half the handle," Malfoy snapped back. "I suppose you and your brothers have to save up twig by twig." Before Ron could answer, Professor Flitwick appeared at Malfoy's elbow. "Not arguing, I hope, boys?" he squeaked. "Potter's been sent a broomstick, Professor," said Malfoy quickly. "Yes, that's right," said Professor Flitwick, beaming at Harry. "Professor McGonagall told me about all the special circumstances, Potter. And what model is it?" "A Nimbus 2000, it is," said Harry, fighting not to laugh at the look of horror on Malfoy's face. "And it's really thanks to Malfoy here that I've got it," he added. Harry and Ron headed upstairs, smothering their laughter at Malfoy's obvious rage and confusion. "Well, it's true," Harry chortled as they reached the top of the marble staircase. "If he hadn't stolen Neville's Remember-All, I wouldn't have been on the team." "So I suppose you think that it's a reward for breaking rules?" came an angry voice from just behind them. Hermione was stomping up the stairs, looking disapprovingly at the package in Harry's hand. "I thought you weren't speaking to us," said Harry. "Yes, don't stop now," said Ron. "It's doing us so much good." Hermione marched away with her nose in the air. Harry had a lot of trouble keeping his mind on his lessons that day. It kept wandering up to the dormitory. His mind kept wandering up to the dormitory where his new broomstick was lying under his bed, or straying off to the Quidditch field where he'd be learning to play that night. He bolted his dinner that evening without touching what he was eating, then rushed upstairs with Ron to unwrap the Nimbus 2000 at last. "Wow," Ron sighed as the broomstick rolled onto the Harry's bedspread. Even Harry, who knew nothing about different brooms, thought it looked wonderful. Sleek and shiny with a mahogany handle, it had a long tail of neat, straight twigs and Nimbus 2000 written in gold near the top. As 7 o'clock drew nearer, Harry left the castle and set off in the dusk toward the Quidditch field. He'd never been inside the stadium before. Hundreds of seats were raised in stands around the field so the spectators were high enough to see what was going on. At either end of the field were three golden poles with hoops at the end. They reminded Harry of the little plastic sticks Muggle children blew bubbles through, except that they were 50 feet high. Too eager to fly again to wait for wood, Harry mounted his broomstick and kicked off from the ground. What a feeling! He swooped in and out of the goalposts and sped up and down the field. The Nimbus 2000 turned whatever he wanted, wherever he wanted at the lightest touch. "Hey, Potter, come down!" Oliver Wood had arrived. He was carrying a large wooden crate under his arm. Harry landed next to him. "Very nice," said Wood, his eyes glinting. "I see what McGonagall meant. You really are a natural. I'm going to teach you the rules this evening, and you'll be joining team practice 3 times a week. He opened his crate. Inside were 4 different sized balls. "Right," said Wood. "Now, Quidditch is easy to understand, even if it's not too easy to play. There are 7 players on each side. 3 of them are called chasers." 3 chasers, Harry repeated, as Wood took out a bright red ball about the size of a soccer ball. "This ball is called the quaffle," said Wood. "The chasers throw the quaffle to each other and try to get it through the hoops to score a goal. 10 points every time the quaffle goes through the hoops. Follow me?" "The chasers throw the quaffle and put it through the hoops to score," Harry recited. "So that's sort of like basketball and broomsticks with 6 hoops, isn't it?" "Ha. What's a basketball?" said Wood curiously. "Never mind," said Harry quickly. "In any case, it's more like soccer. Because, right? I mean, with more goals, because you get to defend them. Anyways. Oh, here they're saying. Okay. "Now, there's another player on each side who's called the keeper. I'm keeper for Gryffindor. I have to fly around our hoops and stop the other team from scoring." Three chasers, one keeper, said Harry, who's determined to remember it all. I mean, if he knows soccer, then he would, Oh, wait, they said soccer, didn't they? Wait a second. Let me look back. Yeah, he said it was about the size of a soccer ball, but I thought this was the British version. Wouldn't they call it a football? Anyways. Okay, anyways, the other thing I was going to say is... Yeah, I mean, if he knows soccer or football, then he would know what a keeper is, because that's what they call it in Britain anyways, the goalkeeper. So it wouldn't be hard to remember. Anyways, 3 chasers, 1 keeper, said Harry, who was determined to remember it all. "And they play with a quaffle. Okay, got it. So what are they for?" He pointed at the 3 balls left inside the box. "I'll show you now," said Wood. "Take this." He handed Harry a small club, a bit like a short baseball bat. "I'm going to show you what the bludgers do," said Wood. "These 2 are bludgers." He showed Harry 2 identical balls, jet black and slightly smaller than the red quaffle. Harry noticed that they seemed to be straining to escape the straps holding them inside the box. "Stand back," Wood warned Harry. He bent down and freed one of the bludgers. At once, the black ball rose in the air and then pelted straight at Harry's face. Harry swung at it with a bat to stop it from breaking his nose and sent it zigzagging away into the air. It zoomed around their heads and then shot at Wood, who dived on top of it and managed to pin it to the ground. "See?" Wood panted, forcing the struggling bludger back into the crate and strapping it down safely. The bludgers rocketed around, trying to knock players off their brooms. "That's why you have 2 beaters on each team. The Weasley twins are ours. It's their job to protect their side from the bludgers that try to knock them towards the other team. So, you think you've got all that?" 3 chasers try to score with the quaffle. The keeper guards the goalposts. The beaters keep the bludgers away from their team. Harry reeled off. "Very good," said Wood. Have the bludgers ever killed anyone?" Harry asked, hoping he sounded offhand. "Never at Hogwarts. We've had a couple broken jaws, but nothing worse than that. Now, the last member of the team..." Oh, wait. Okay, let me interrupt him right here, and I'll say, up until now, she has just described a fantastic game on broomsticks. I mean, seriously, this game rocks hard. But we're about to introduce 1 member of the team Which, as you know, I mean, is the whole point that because Harry's going to be good at it, but totally destroys the great game that they've made up until now. Anyways. Now, the last member of the team is the Seeker. That's you. And you don't have to worry about the Quaffle or the Bludgers, unless they crack my head open. Don't worry, the Weasleys are more than a match for the Bludgers. I mean, they're like a pair of human Bludgers themselves. Wood reached into the crate and took out the fourth and last ball. Compared with the Quaffle and the Bludgers, it was tiny, about the size of a walnut. It was bright gold and had little silver fluttery wings. This, said Wood, is the Golden Snitch, and it's the most important ball of the lot. It's very hard to catch because it's so fast and difficult to see. It's a Seeker's job to catch it. You've got to weave in and out of the Chasers, Beaters, and Bludgers, and Quaffle to get it before the other team's Seeker. Because whichever Seeker catches the Snitch wins his team an extra 150 points, so they nearly always win. That's why Seekers get fouled so much. A game of Quidditch only ends when the Snitch is caught, so it can go on for ages. I think the record is 3 months. They had to keep bringing in substitutes so the players could get some sleep. Well, that's it. Any questions? At this point, what Harry should say is, so what's the point in actually playing the other game? Why don't they just have two Seekers out there and try to see who catches the Golden Snitch first? Or, like, break it up into two games? Have the Seeker game and play this awesome game with the other balls? Not clear? Anyways. Harry shook his head. He understood what he had to do all right. It was doing it that was going to be the problem. Very deep. We won't practice with the Snitch yet, said Wood, carefully shutting it back inside the crate. It's too dark. We might lose it. Let's try you out with a few of these. He pulled a bag of ordinary golf balls out of his pocket, and a few minutes later, he and Harry were up in the air, Wood throwing golf balls as hard as he could in every direction for Harry to catch. Harry didn't miss a single one, and Wood was delighted. After an hour and a half, night had really fallen and they couldn't carry on. That Quidditch Cup will have our name on it this year, said Wood happily as they trudged back to the castle. I wouldn't be surprised if you turn out better than Charlie Weasley, and he could have played for England if he hadn't got off chasing dragons. And that is halfway through the chapter. I think I'm going to have to stop here. So tomorrow we will continue more of Harry Potter. I hope you like that, Carrie, and I'm glad I could start reading more now. So I love you. Good night.